people make any mistakes. As Martin said, the reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43, and in the Church Bibles, that's on page 1053. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God.
Thank you, Linda. Here we go, more of these pictures. I've become a fan of these pictures over the last little while. I've been leading the All Ages, and quite like putting these pictures up, because it does help us to focus on the story we're looking at today of Jesus healing the blind beggar. Now we're sort of continuing our route down from where Jesus is coming down Samaria, and the theme of the All Age services is Jesus has been meeting people and changed people's lives on the way down, and he's heading into Jerusalem. So this is sort of continuing on Jesus' journey, where he comes across and meets the blind beggar. So we've looked at Zacchaeus when he approaches Jericho and the changes he makes on there, makes to Zacchaeus. We've looked at how the disciples really realised who Jesus was on Lake Galilee when he calms the storm. And then we've seen Jesus heal the 10 men with leprosy, and the fact that only one of them, who was a Samaritan, came back to say thank you to Jesus. So now we're looking at this story of when Jesus meets the blind beggar. Before he heads into Jericho, where he then meets Zacchaeus and changes his life. But why is this story focused on as Jesus healing this blind man? If we read further on in all the other Gospels, Jesus heals many who were blind. And yet this one gets a specific mention. Not only is it mentioned in the reading that we've got here in Luke, but it's also mentioned in Matthew, and it's highlighted in Matthew 20 as two blind men received sight, and they were sitting by the road. And then in Mark, it's in Mark 10, the same story is recounted again, as blind Bartimaeus received sight. So he's not referred to as a blind beggar or a blind man, he's actually given the name blind Bartimaeus. And then it is also in the one we've looked at here in Luke 18, where it's referred to as a blind beggar. So it makes you think as why this same story is told three times. What is the significance of it being told rather than it just Jesus heals many who are blind? Now, I've mentioned before, I do enjoy history, and I read one of the historians who wrote the books for The Longest Day, The D-Day Landings Went On, and The Bridge Too Far. The historian who wrote the historical account of those events, he never put anything in his books or his writings that wasn't told by more than one person, because he wanted clarification that what he was saying did actually happen. And that led me to this here. The fact that it's mentioned three times, it is something that it's a story of significance that happened. And it's important for us to see why it gets that mention. and that it's true. Before we move on, there is one other story I'd like to share with you, because I think it's important to this healing, where there is in Mark another story of a blind man being healed. Now, this one is in Mark 8, and it's called The Healing of a Blind Man at Bethsaida. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. When he spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. His eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Now, the significance I find with that story of Jesus healing the blind man reminded me of something that I saw a few years ago on a Horizon program. Now, I don't know whether you people would know or remember the Horizon programs on BBC Two, but they were basically documentaries looking at scientific things of interest. Now, with this particular program, they had this chap who had been blind from about the age of 3, and he'd had an accident that meant he'd lost his sight. It was just untreatable, and that's it. He'd lost his sight. There's nothing that could be done for him. So basically, his life has adapted to being blind. And he'd married and grown up. He got married and had children. The children had grown up. And then science had moved on to about in his late 50s in America. They'd discovered a way of curing his particular injuries he's had to his eyes and giving him his sight back. So he went through this procedure and had this operation that was successful. And when they came to take the bandages off, and "You just handed me your glasses, Elaine," reminded me of how he described what he saw. So in theory, he could have been totally sighted again. They thought they'd cured him. He put his glasses on, and his description of what he saw is very similar to this description of this man here. That he saw men, they just looked like trees. He said he couldn't see. Yes, in theory he could see, but he couldn't make out any of the images that he's receiving. And they're all going, and all the doctors and all the scientists are going, "But why can't you see anything? You know, we've done the operation. You know, you must be able to see." But he says, I cannot see anything. I can't make out it's just a load of mush of different light. So he asked for one of these to be put on. So they put one of these on to cover his eyes. And the first thing he said is, "I can see now." And it was because his other senses had taken over and he was able to use all his touch, his smell, his feel to then make a picture of what he was seeing in his own mind. So the doctors then started to wonder, well, why can't he see? And the reason is because they'd discovered by looking into how his brain works and how the brain receives the signals from your eye to tell it what images it's seeing. And they'd worked out that because he had lost his sight at the age of 3, the brain hadn't developed the neuroconnections to then allow him to make sense of the images that the eye was seeing. So because the eye was no longer giving those images at a young age, the brain thought, well, there's no point to use these receptors. I'll use them for highlighting his sense of touch, his feel, his smell. So he then was able to envisage that. And he was then moving on to then having a lot of coaching of how he can retrain his brain to understand these images. But they then realised they were never able to give him perfect sight because of it. They could only improve it. And this is why I think it's incredible. Look at the healing of Jesus, because Jesus is able to heal some of the most complex medical problems there are, and he still does heal some of the complex medical problems that only now our doctors are understanding how the brain works, how the body works. And yet Jesus was able to heal very complex things. And I just found that story, reading that about the blind man, quite incredible when it comes to understanding the power and the power of God and his ability to heal some very complex medical issues. And we must trust that God can do wonderful things. So let's go back to that's a little bit of an aside, but I think it puts a little bit of understanding as well as to just the power of Jesus, the healing power of Jesus. So back to our story of our blind beggar. So he's sitting by the roadside. Probably in the same place as he has sat day in, day out, trying his hardest to scratch a bit of money together to survive, to buy food and to live. And it's like I say, he's probably been where he's always been. Is at a time where there is, unlike we have today, where we have the NHS to support us, social services to help, and we have lots of organisations, voluntary and government run, that can help people out. Then there was nothing. It was up to him and the people around to try and get him through every day. So he's sitting there, begging. But we've looked at other parts of our senses. He must have been there and sensed something was happening. Something was going on. The crowd was getting bigger. He cannot see it, but he can sense it. And he asked somebody there, he asked them, "What is happening?" And they reply, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." What's his reply? Now his reply, I think, is quite important for us to look at. Because we hear the reply of other people that Jesus meets, and he's either referred to as good teacher, he's referred to as rabbi, he's referred to as master, and that's what the 10 lepers say when they want to get Jesus' attention. They call out, "Master, have pity on us." And when the blind man asks the people around who's coming, they refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth. So the crowd refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth. His reply to that, and when he hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth going by, he doesn't just sit there and go, "Oh, okay, now I know." He starts to call out. And who does he start calling out to? Jesus, Son of David. The way he refers to Jesus is completely different. And he refers to him as Jesus, Son of David, because it's an acknowledgement that he has understood that this Jesus of Nazareth isn't a good teacher, isn't a rabbi, isn't a master. He's actually the Messiah, the Son of God, who's going by. It's the fulfillment of prophecies in the scriptures that he would have heard in the synagogue, and he has realized who this Jesus is and refers to him as Jesus, Son of David. So he is realizing that this person going by isn't just a rabbi, isn't just a good teacher, isn't master, but is the Son of God going by him. He then says, "Have mercy on me." And we see how the 10 lepers say, "Have pity on us." And at that time, if you're inflicted with anything, it was classed as a punishment of the sins that you have done. So it's your fault that you're blind. It's your fault that you've got these hindrances. It's your fault that you are unable to do things that others can do. That was the thinking of at the time, which will highlight perhaps the view of the crowd, that they try to shut him up. Why would Jesus be interested in you? You're just a sinner who's got yourself in this position by what you've done. And they try to shut him up. But he doesn't want to shut up. He gets louder and louder and louder, crying out to Jesus, wanting Jesus to hear him and to see him. But the crowd didn't like him that, so they continually tried to get him to shut up. But that doesn't work. The voice goes up, gets noisier and noisier and noisier. Jesus goes by, stops, and asks the man to be brought to him. Here you go, more of these pictures. It's interesting what Jesus says to him, and he asks him what, on the looks of it, seems to be a bit of a silly question. And he asks him, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, it seems quite an obvious question, doesn't it? And quite a simple question, quite a silly question. Well, it's obvious what he wants to do for it, but it's an important question. Because this man has been begging for so many years and that he was probably just part of the furniture and ignored quite often or walked by. But Jesus stops and asks this, what turns out to be a very important question. What do you want me to do for you? And the reply is, his answer is, Lord, I want to see. He's not asking for Jesus for more money to make his life easier. He's not asking for anything that he can take away. And Jesus asks him that question, so it's obvious to the crowd what the man is asking for. He has spent so many years asking for money from people, but what he asks for Jesus is, he answers, Lord, I want to see. Jesus replies to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. It's quite an incredible thought, really, that this man has not seen and has been blind for a considerable length of time. And the first thing he sees, which would be quite wondrous, the first thing he actually sees when he receives his sight is the face of Jesus. What an incredible sight that must be, just to have that face of Jesus in front of him. But your faith has healed you. No wonder he prays God and follows Jesus. There's one or two things that I think are important for us to try and take from this particular story. A, Jesus asks him, what is it that you want from me? And I think that's an important question that Jesus is asking us as well. What is it you want me to do for you? And in deep down in our hearts, do we actually ask Jesus for what is our heartfelt things he would like us to do? He would want us to ask him for that he can do in our lives. So it's a question that he's asking us. What do you want me to do for you? And in Matthew 7, it says there, ask and it shall be given to you. So he wants us to say exactly what we would like him to do for us. And that's an important question. The one there on faith. It's because he approaches Jesus and asks Jesus, I want to see, and all Jesus said is, your faith has healed you. What is our faith in Jesus, that he is going to make a difference in our lives? And I've just got one comment I would like to share with you. And it's an important thing about faith and how we ask for things in faith. And I found this and it touched my heart really on it. And and I'll leave you with this. Faith alone without Jesus is blind faith. So what do we put our faith in? Lots of people put our faith in politicians, in our leaders, in our famous people, in our famous footballers, in superheroes. But what do we put our faith in? Faith alone without Jesus is blind faith. On the other hand, without our faith, Jesus can't help us. So he's asking us, with faith, to come before him for his help. Both Jesus' power and our faith working together are necessary for us to be saved and healed. So it's up to us to have faith in Jesus in our lives. It's up to us to know that Jesus will change our lives. Jesus will bring us to a place where we can come before him and see his face. So if we know Jesus, and we know who Jesus is in our lives, help us to have the faith to come before him and ask him for our deep down needs in our life, and have faith that we can put them in his hands, knowing that he can make a difference. If we don't know Jesus, and we've never seen Jesus, just be aware that Jesus is around us and with us all the time. This cross is a sign that it's an empty cross, that Jesus has come down from the cross, that is alive and with us day by day. So rather than just hearing about Jesus and letting him go by, help us sometimes to open our eyes. If you don't know Jesus, just to open your eyes and see Jesus. And Jesus can be sought through people around, through seeing what the difference he can make in people's lives. That they see the wonder of Jesus through people. So that final line, with both of Jesus' power and our faith working together, are necessary for us to be saved and healed. So that blind man came to Jesus with faith and asked that he wanted to have his sight. And the first thing he saw with his sight restored was Jesus. Help us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, that he can make a difference and change our lives. And he went away praising God and thanking God. And the crowd went away praising God and thanking God. So let us leave day by day praising and thanking God for all that he has done. So thank you for this morning. Before we close, I'd just like to have a moment of prayer to have an opportunity, as Helen said,